Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Everyone loves birthdays, especially the actual event, the birth itself, right? That's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? While I know you don't remember your birth, very likely you remember the births of your children and grandchildren, and maybe, if it was fairly recently, you have remarkable photos of the event. In my case, a few years ago, I was the first husband to be inside the delivery room of the hospital where my wife was giving birth to our daughter. The old doctor, about to retire, didn't like the notion of husbands in the delivery room rather than out in the waiting room where he thought they belonged. Oh my, what a memory that day is for me. Yesterday, I left you sitting with the old Jewish priest Zechariah and his very pregnant old wife Elizabeth and their young relative Mary. Mary had come with a story about her pregnancy that she couldn't fully understand. I don't blame her, do you? Wisely, she sought comfort and counsel from the only two living people she felt might walk with her in this unique journey of Mary's God-initiated pregnancy, according to Luke chapter 1. Dr. Luke tells us Mary stayed with Zechariah and Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. We don't know if Mary was there for Elizabeth's birth of her miracle baby, but I personally think she stayed to witness this great event, especially considering what I'm sure she now understood would be the very significant relationship between Elizabeth's son and hers. At only 3 months, her pregnancy would not have been visible yet, and easily Elizabeth could have explained Mary as her young relative visiting and helping her. In the Jewish tradition, the birth event was not nearly as important for an infant boy as the 8th day after his birth, when a dual ceremony took place. In that ceremony, the infant boy was circumcised, which celebrated his participation in the covenant God had made with Abraham and confirmed the boy was born into that sacred lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons. Elizabeth and Zechariah's son was privileged to be born into the Levitical priestly line, a direct descendant of Aaron, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. But also in this ceremony, the little boy would be given his name, and in a Jewish family, that was a big deal. Names, especially for sons, were very carefully selected. But in this case, Zechariah and Elizabeth had no choice, for the angel Gabriel had told Zechariah very clearly this miracle son was to be named John. John means God is gracious, or more specifically, the Lord is gracious. The angel Gabriel had promised Zechariah that John would be a great blessing to them and all the people of Israel, and that John would bring joy and delight to them. But most important, John would be a Nazarite prophet of God, serving Israel in our world as Elijah did. He would call Israel back to God and prepare them for the arrival of their long-awaited Messiah. Dr. Luke tells us it was in this ceremony that Zechariah's voice miraculously returned. In fact, at a very specific and historic moment. The people attending the ceremony were clamoring about what the infant should be named, and because Zechariah was still mute, they were pressuring Elizabeth to make the proclamation. They assumed the boy would be named after his father and would continue in his father's priestly footsteps, carrying on the family tradition. But Elizabeth shocked them all by saying, "No, he is to be called John," Luke chapter 1. I've often wondered how much detail Elizabeth had given their friends during her pregnancy about why Zechariah was mute. Based on their surprise at the name John, it tells me she and Zechariah had not shared very much about Gabriel's visit or announcement. Very confused, those gathered for this ceremony turned to Zechariah, asking for help in naming the boy. This was a defining moment for all Israel, and the people had no idea. Zechariah took a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John," Luke 1:63. That was an act of direct obedience to God's instructions. I wonder if Zechariah put an exclamation point after John. I love that he did not write, "His name will be John." Zechariah was declaring that this little boy had been John since his conception. He was John during those 9 months in Elizabeth's old womb, and now, finally, the world had opportunity to meet the John who would introduce Messiah Jesus to the world. Instantly, heaven responded to Zechariah's obedience. Do you see that, my friends? The record says, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and Zechariah began to speak, praising God. Luke 1:64. I love that, don't you? It's clear evidence to me that God is watching everything, every detail of what's happening here on earth, and God loves to insert himself into, involve himself with, those things here which will help accomplish God's great purposes on earth in every generation. Zechariah had been preparing for this moment for 9 months. I think the outpouring of Zechariah's heart, found in the message he immediately proclaimed, is a prophetic message born out of 9 months of worship, prayer, and diligent study of God's word, especially those portions of God's word pointing to the coming of Messiah. It's called Zechariah's Song, and you'll find it in Luke chapter 1, verse 67 to 79. I urge you to read it slowly, my friends, digesting the significance of every line, as though it is a God-inspired speech that was in development for 9 months. In fact, Dr. Luke says Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit as he spoke those words. I believe it was very likely shortly after this that Mary returned home, her heart filled with excitement and her mind filled with spiritual teaching from Zechariah and Elizabeth. Oh, she would need every ounce of that, for, of course, no one back in Nazareth would believe Mary's story, not her family, not even her fiancé Joseph. She could hide her pregnancy, but only for so long. That's why, you'll recall, God spoke to Joseph in a dream, challenging him to take Mary as his wife, and thereby, without any public statement, Joseph was declaring her child to be his responsibility. Matthew chapter 1. The closing commentary of Dr. Luke about John's birth is powerful, only a few words, and the child grew and became strong in spirit. What do you think that means? When in that statement is a work of God by the Holy Spirit, and how much of that is the love, teaching, mentoring, training of old Zechariah and Elizabeth as they took full responsibility to prepare their son for the unique role he would soon have of preparing Israel for Jesus. Can you and I apply the same question to our parenting of our children and our grandparenting? How well are we helping them know God, understand God's word, seek to discern God's leading in their lives as we prepare them for their God-given roles in our world?